the unique things that I think the whether it's GAO or OPM can learn from on their studies is to look at some of these before they initiate a government-wide requirement, that they do some kind of surveying or polling within the small agency community to see if somebody's already doing this. There's a strong likelihood that because all these agencies with different authorities, different revenues coming in, that there could be a unit out there that's already doing this. And it's a good way to kind of determine the feasibility or identify the success of a new initiative by identifying who's already doing this, what's working, and what's not. And, you know, that could be an example where there could be some small agencies partnering with universities for scientific positions that have really identified a good pathway for these graduating students to come in to their agency, and it's working out really well versus, you know, something that just comes out and says, okay, all agencies must do it this way without having an opportunity to see what's already working out there, kind of like these centers of innovation, things that are already going out in the small agency community that could be blown up and that be expanded to allow bigger departments and other agencies to emulate.
Basically, it sounds like a lot of small agencies might already have these, in a way, pilot projects going. You can kind of view them as pilot projects, whereas OPM and GAO could look back and say, hey, look, they're already doing this. How's it working out for them? Is that what I hear you saying?
Exactly.
Give me an example of something that you think a small agency is doing or has done that or is close to something that OPM has done in terms of policy or requirement.
I think one of the things that it has been studied a little bit, and that is the concept for pay for performance. The idea that we have the general schedule, you know, which has been in place for many years now, and yet you always hear people that, you know, we need to come up with a better system. You know, that's a tenure-based system through a gradual process where people get step increases. And at the same time, we know that there are agencies out there who are in a pay-banded situation that can have performance-based salary increases, and as you know, where we are today with the president's pay adjustment being frozen for at least 2 years and going into the next calendar year as well, you know, that will create ultimately concerns for recruitment and for engagement of the workforce, because where do people see themselves? Where's the predictability of advancement? And yet we know that there's a group of pay-banded agencies out there who don't have to follow that GS model, which does allow people to have salary increases based on performance. And it would be good to know what are the lessons learned? How does that get worked into your budget at the beginning of the year? For instance, in a CR environment, does that continue to move out? What are the performance management systems that agencies are using to tie salary increases to pay levels? And so it's that kind of studies that I think would be helpful, because I know there are many smaller agencies out there doing that. It's just that people haven't really had a chance to look at it as a whole and find out what's working and what's not.
Go ahead and give me some of the unique challenges that small agencies like yours are facing with the current budget situation, the budget pressure, uncertainty of what's going to happen in terms of money.
Sure. And within the small agency community, in which the group that I work with, the Small Agency Human Resource Council, it comprises of about 100 federal agencies with close to about 200,000 employees who work from coast to coast. And within that community, you will have a myriad of responsibilities and hiring authorities. Some are inside of Title V, some fall outside of Title V. Some have pay banding, and some have under the current, you know, the current GS system. And so within that, you have a high degree of diversity, and within that, certain degrees of challenges that could be felt more with some agencies and versus others. And within that community, though, certainly a large portion of our budgets fall within the salaries and expense line item, meaning paying for travel and for payroll and for objects to keep their agencies up and running. So there's not clearly any discretionary spending that some of the larger agencies can have access to bridge pay gaps or budget gaps. So they really have to plan well and early and often. And, you know, it's sort of like one of the five P's that we look at. Prior planning prevents poor performance. And so the idea is, as we gear up to the end of the fiscal year, we want to make sure that within our respective units, you know, within the HR unit, the CFO units, that we understand where potential gaps are going to occur and how to plan for them so nobody's surprised, for instance, when we are putting out vacancy announcements that can go into the next fiscal year. Depending on what the CR environment is looking like, are we going to be able to fill those positions? And within the federal government, you know, there's no luxury of extra positions. They're almost all mission-critical positions that we are now hiring for. So we only get one chance to do this right. So it does take a high degree of planning with your CFO units to make sure that the funding availability is going to be there in the next fiscal year. And certainly the pressure is always on the HR units to make sure we're identifying the best and brightest for those positions.